In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. So I continue with John Paul Jackson's The Coming of the Perfect Storm. We remember it will be a combination of religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. And John Paul Jackson says that in some areas on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe economics will be 7 and politics will be 3. It's the coming together of these five elements of religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. That geophysical events would be earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and so forth and so on. Why is the storm coming? Now, this is where I started yesterday, and I will just read this. The storm is coming because the church, that's all the churches he's talking about, the body of Christ is no longer the backbone of the nation. From our inception, the Christian faith has been the plumb line of decisions made at all levels of life. The Christian founding of this nation is what makes it different from every other nation, other than perhaps Israel. Other nations have become Christian in their focus, but none initially formed with Christianity as the core of its DNA. Christianity is the core, was the core of the founding fathers. The church is to make known God's manifold wisdom to the world and the powers of the air, Ephesians 2:2. This demonstration to the heavens is not accomplished by speaking to those powers, but through the righteous living. Therefore, the church is called to be different. As the church wrote, the document, Lumen Gentium, that we are the light of the nations. Well, it's a lovely document, but it's not true. You know, it should be true. And, well, it's not true. We're not the light of the nations because we're just like everybody else. You know, I know of a bishop who's a thief in another country. Okay, I'm not going to go into it. You know, when your bishop is a thief, is stealing money from a dead person, this is in another country, and I know this to be true, I want to tell you that poor diocese is under the wrath of God, and the poor people suffer because this bishop is a hoodlum. Anyway, how we live opens and closes doors for Satan to legally afflict us and even rule over us via leaders who do not know the ways of God. So when the church is not the church, then we get the leaders we deserve. Do I have to make that a little clearer? You know, do I have to make that a little clearer? Look at the House of Representatives with our Catholic Nancy, what's your name first? Pelosi, isn't she wonderful? She's a liar, first of all. She says that she never heard about the tactics of waterboarding. Yeah, she's a liar. And she went to see the Holy Father, yeah, and she told about her grandchildren. She is pro-death until the last moment. Isn't that wonderful? We get the leaders we deserve, yeah. Shall I go into President Obama? Oh, yeah. It's all about Bo, his puppy. Isn't that wonderful? And, you know, the Cinque di Mayo, or Maya, whatever he's talking about, ragtime. Or it's about his wife's, without having, sleeves on her dress, you know, and then how they hold hands, yeah. While the economy is going down, please, we get the leaders we deserve. I told you that if Obama was elected president of the United States, I said that was a sign of God's hand is off of the United States of America. Not because he's black, because he's a socialist, okay? And socialism doesn't work. He kisses up to Castro. He kisses up to, imagine kissing up to Castro. Talk to Cubans about that. He kisses up to the movie stars. Yo, yeah. Every Wednesday they have big party at the White House, you know, at our expense. Big party. You know, he's into saving fuel, but he'll go flying from here to there to sign a document. It's all full of baloney. It's all smoke and mirrors. But you know what? We deserve. And whose fault is it? What's his name? After me. Father Karapi would say that it's the priest's fault because this is what he says, this is real. Anything that happens in problems in the world has to do with the lack of shepherding by priests. That's what Father Karapi would say. What would John Paul Jackson, the Protestant prophet, say? It's all the church that does not have rightful living. And you know what? That's not only the institutional church, that's the people of God. All right? So, you know, they're saying the same thing in a sense. We got the leaders that we deserve, you know? The church is to make known the manifold wisdom of God to the powers of the air. This demonstration to the heavens is not accomplished by speaking to the powers, but through righteous living. How we live opens doors or closes doors for Satan to legally afflict us and even rule over us via leaders who do not know the ways of God. That's true. From Adam and Eve through today, the actions of mankind have given room for the enemy to strike and attack us. That's right. The only legal way the enemy has access to us is when the hand of God lifts from us. And I told you that if Obama was elected, it was the lifting of the hand of God. And it started with 9/11. At least it was came to a culmination in 9/11. That the protection of God was not on this country because this country had been killing children and we spit in the face of God, embryonic stem cell research, go on and on and on and on. You know, as I said, you know, we have the bishops talking about the swine flu, but they're not talking about the killing at the death centers in their diocese, most of them. Know what I'm saying? It's all a hype. It's all a hype. Anyway, let's continue. Resulting in a space between God and us, the space increases as we distance ourselves from the Lord and His ways. And we have a big space. We have a big space because you know what? I want to tell you that Christians are no different than the world. I want to tell you that for the most part. They're no different than the world, you know. They're no different than the world for the most part. And I'm going to tell you the church is no different than the world. You know, do I have to tell you about St. Elizabeth's again? I'm not going into that. But you know, if you've been listening to me, you know, Centene Insurance Company, we will have to refer people to have abortions. Isn't that wonderful? And that St. Elizabeth's Hospital has recommended to people with problem pregnancies that they go have an abortion. Not there, but someplace else. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. That's why we have President Obama and Nancy Pelosi and all these, I call them poor bums. Anytime there is an increased distance between God and humanity, it leaves room for attack to come from principalities and powers of the air, the rulers of darkness, to take up residence. The longer dark powers reside over an area, the more people begin to call right wrong and wrong right. That's right. Have you noticed about Miss America or Miss Universe, whatever she was? She just gave her opinion that she was not for a gay marriage, but a man and a woman is what marriage is all about. So, but the world... and at least the media saying, you know, she's a rag. She's the things they said about this poor woman is sad. Just because she stated her belief, which happened to be the same belief as Obama when in his campaign. Okay? And it is verbatim. Okay, fine. Here in the United States, leaders arise from people. In other words, as the people believe and think, so do the leaders who rise from their ranks. Eventually, the lines between right and wrong, as well as holy and profane, become blurred. I tell you, they're so blurred now, honey, that I have my glasses off, and I cannot see very far. I'm going to tell you, right now, if you're looking at me on YouTube, you see that my glasses are off, and I can see the camera. But you want to know what? I look over there, and just where the coffee pot is, I know the coffee pot's there. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's a coffee pot or a spaceship. You know what I'm saying? Because if things are very blurred. They're very blurred. So eventually, lines between right and wrong, as well as the holy and profane, become blurred. The way to God through Jesus and the cross is no longer seen as an absolute. That's right. We cannot mention the name of Jesus in government schools. They're not public schools, my friends. They are government schools. But our little Muslim friends can sit on their little rugs and face Mecca. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Okay. Okay. But nobody says anything about it. Oh, because we know we have to get along with everybody. Got along without you before I met you. Gonna get along without you now. Yeah, well, let me tell you. Things are closing in. The way to God through Jesus and the cross is no longer seen as an absolute. We had the reading this Sunday that there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. I will preach that till my dying day by the grace of God. And you know what? Other people say, you know, you can be a nominal Christian or a whatever Christian, you know. It's sick. It's sick. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, if Buddha is there today, it's because of the blood of the Lamb. No other way. He didn't come because he was investigating his navel. And you know, when I die, if I'm before the presence of God and I'm before Jesus Christ, it's not because I wore a collar or I have an indelible mark through confirmation and baptism. It's because of the blood of Jesus and by grace through faith. Yes, the sacraments, I believe. But you want to know what? Hitler had indelible marks on his soul too. And he, poor bum. You know what I'm saying? It's not only sacraments, it's right living. It's living as a Christian. You see, sacraments can become excuses. You know, how many people have told me, I've been baptized. You don't say, so was Hitler. So was Mussolini. I've been confirmed. I went to parochial school. Ain't that nice? You don't know Jesus. You know Mickey Mouse more than Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's really great. You went to parochial. My uncle is the Monsignor. You don't say! Give me a break. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. And I'm going to tell you, your mother may be a saint, but that doesn't make you a saint. Sanctity doesn't come through the genes, and it doesn't come through the DNA. Sanctity comes that every generation must give their life unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God has only children, no grandchildren, okay? So you can make all the excuses in the world. I'm on the parish council. Well, I know some people on the South Shore that's on the parish council that are pro-death. That nice! That's in the Catholic Church! You don't say, Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That's really beautiful. You know, we have pro-death people on our parish councils. I want to tell you something. Yesterday, we had our last CCD meeting in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I just want to say something, okay? Most of our children do not go to Mass, just like every other CCD program. But I'm going to tell you, they've been instructed and they've been brought before the Blessed Sacrament. And they have complete respect for Jesus, even though, yesterday, you know what I told them? You know, yesterday we taught on, we either are a witness or we are against Jesus. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Heavenly Father. If you proclaim me before men, I will proclaim you before my Heavenly Father. So I said to the children, you know, I said, you know, you children, I said, most of your children live right so close to the church. When you don't come to Mass, you're denying Jesus. And if you didn't know that yesterday, you know it today. You are denying Jesus, and he will deny you before the Father. This is real. This is real. But I want to tell you, these children are respectful. They have respect for the Blessed Sacrament. I'm just going to say their parents. It's not their kids' fault. It's their parents. It's their parents. But I'm going to tell you, you know, one of the boys... had a broken leg, and another boy got a chair for him. And not only that, but the boy that had the broken leg looked at him and thanked him at the end of the service. And I said, our kids are extraordinary. Our kids are extraordinary. We don't have many. And it breaks my heart they don't come to Mass. But you know, I had to tell them the truth. I said, you know, if you deny Jesus, he's going to deny you before the Heavenly Father. So you know, it's time to repent. It's time to change. It's time to change. You don't want to deny Jesus. Now, I know people wouldn't say that to children, but you know what? I said it to children. Because you know why? It's true. It's true. I said, now, if you live for a far distance away, you know, and you can't get here because your parents, that's another issue. It's your parents' fault. Or if you have a split family and you're with dad and he won't take you to Mass, that's your father's fault. It's not your fault. Okay? So I went into all the things that I could tell them, you know. But I said, you know what, if you live around the corner and you want to just sleep in, you're just denying Jesus. And if you deny Jesus, he'll deny you. But it's time to change. That's what it's all about. It's time to change. You see, and they know I love them. They know I love them. They know that I love them. But I can't just sell them a win. No, it's all so sweet and kind. Everything is so good. No, kids. You have responsibility. I said, I went to Mass. My parents didn't. I got myself there. You want to know why? Because I needed Jesus. So, you know, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. Now, again, if you live far away, that's another issue. Or your dad and your mama split up and dad doesn't take... That's another issue. But if you're around the corner and you can't make time for the Lord, because this is... We come to hear his word, to receive his body and blood, and you know it's his body and blood... I said, you're denying Jesus. Most kids don't know it's his body and blood. You people know. So, you know, I didn't. But I also said, you know, you're an extraordinary group. They're an extraordinary group. We don't have many, but they're extraordinary. You want to know why? They've not only been catechized, they've been evangelized. They've not only been evangelized, the Eucharist, they come to before the Eucharist. And I just want to tell you, you know, a lot is lacking. A lot is lacking, not because of them, but because of their parents. But they're extraordinary as compared to other children. I've been in this stuff over 30 years. You only find true faith in children in poor parishes. Now, we are not a poor parish. We're not a rich parish. People just don't come. But these kids are extraordinary because they've been brought before the Eucharist. And at least they've got some roots. Okay? At least they've got some roots. And, you know, I can't make anything happen. You know, it's, I can just tell them. And they know I love them. Eventually, the lines between right and wrong, as well as holy and profane, become blurred. The way of God through Jesus and the cross is no longer seen as an absolute. There's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. I remember having a Muslim at my house, okay? And I said, you know what? I'm either right or you're right. You know, you can't have it both ways. I gave him a lovely dinner. No pork for him. We had pork, but he had no pork. I made special stuff for him. I respect that. But I said to him, you know, we both can't be right. Jesus is either the only way to the Father, or he isn't. And if he isn't, I have to become a Muslim. But if he is, you've got to become a Christian. If you're into truth. And you need to start asking God about that. Now, some people would say, that's not getting along with people. No, it's not getting along with people. I never saw him again, but you know what? At least I told him. I said, you know, you're either right or I'm right. You can't have it both ways. I'm not going to blur the truth. I'm going to just tell the truth. So he doesn't want to come to my house anymore. That's fine. He had a no pork dinner. Isn't that wonderful? But he also heard the truth. He's either right or I'm right, okay? I'm not ashamed of that. I say that to the Jews too. I love the Jews. I know there's Jewish blood in me. The only way the Jews will get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. That's the only way. The only way the Pope will get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. The only way I'll get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. Now, what happens if they don't accept Jesus before they die? I have no idea. Let God judge them. Maybe he'll just show them at the end. I have no idea, but I'm going to preach to them. That's why I preach to the Jew first and then to the Greek. There's only one Messiah, and he's the Messiah of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, some people say, you know, you're not going to get along with Jewish talk, and, you know, you're not going to have any dialogue. There's no real dialogue. It's all ragtime. You know, it's all ragtime. You're nice, and I'm nice, and we're nice, and ha-ha-ha, and ho-ho-ho, and all foolishness. But you know what? I just have to tell the truth. I love Jewish people. They are the olive tree. We are the grafted branches. I believe that. And it's all going to end up in Jerusalem. I believe that, too. And it's all lining up. But you know what? There's only one way to the Father, and it's through the blood of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, the Jews might not like that if I say that, but you know what? It's true. Why should I lie? To gain more money over the radio? Keep your money. If I'm going to tell you lies, keep your money. I don't want your money. I'm not here to make you people like me. I'm here to tell you the truth because I love Jesus. And I want you to be in heaven. But I want you to give your life now to him so that you'd be a living sacrifice of praise. But you know what? The way to God through Jesus and the cross is no longer seen as an absolute. In fact, absolutes become touted as intolerance. Oh, I'm sure people call me intolerant. But you know what? I go the extra mile for people. Whether they love me, don't love me, hate me, spit at me, I go the extra. I'm a fool. I'm an absolute fool. I go the extra mile for people. After people rip me off, I'm nuts. I'm really nuts. So you call me intolerant, that's fine. First in the world, and even now in the church, intolerant. See, I'm not intolerant. I'm not intolerant. I don't believe the Jews crucified Jesus. Oh, they did, but I did too, through my sins. Equal onus is on all of us. You know. But you know,
That's the way it is.
My sins put Jesus Christ on the cross. Your sins, too. God can fashion a disaster. We are living in the days of Ezekiel and Jeremiah, who prophesied that God can bring disaster on a nation if the nation continues to choose to walk according to its own plans. God spoke this way to Jeremiah. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it up or to pull it down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent if it repents. I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build or to plant it, and it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said would benefit it. Now, therefore, speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, every one of you, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, we will walk according to our own plans, and will every one obey the dictates of our evil hearts. Well, let me just tell you. You keep on killing children from the womb. Now we're killing the elderly. You keep on electing officials like we elect. You keep on doing these things, embryonic stem cell research. And you want to know what? God will fashion a disaster against us. And you know, he doesn't even need to do that. Because what you sow is what you reap. Can I say that again? What you sow is what you reap. I don't think the church believes that. I don't think the church believes that. I think the church believes that God is some Santa Claus. But you keep on sowing, killing, and allowing it to happen in Brookline. And not doing anything about it, not even praying about it. What you sow is what you reap, all right? 40 million children have been killed from the womb, and much more, okay, much more. And you want to know what? I'm going to tell you. There would be no economic depression if those children were alive today, because we'd need 40 million more pairs of shoes, hats, gloves, shirts, trousers, underwear, socks, sneakers. But you see, and it all started when the church stopped talking about birth control. Benedict the 15th said, not the 16th, but the 15th, that the birth control mentality would breed the abortion mentality. And that's something. Nobody even mentions birth control anymore in the church. They have all these commercials. I never thought that they'd have commercials about birth control. But they're all on television in the evening. Birth control. It's all about birth control. And much of the birth control is abortifacient, which means kills the child that has been attached to the uterine wall. Oh, God. And no one says anything. No one says anything. No one says anything. No one says anything. But what you sow is what you reap. It's the way it is. We're going to sow tomatoes in my little yard with the help of God. But we won't get many because there'll only be about 8 plants. What you sow is what you reap. And if you sow it in unfertile ground, you're not going to reap much. So it's not only what you sow is what you reap, but the ground has to be fertile. My friends, God has given us up, and the only way to come back is through repentance. Oh yeah, it's repentance, my friends. It's all about repentance. We need repentance parties. That's why we gather every Friday at 3 o'clock with the Divine Mercy, crying out for mercy for me, for our parish, for the church, for the country, for the world. We need repentance parties. I told you, you know, with this whole thing about the sexual abuse for children and priests, you know, everybody got an apology, but Almighty God, we filthied his name. Everybody got an apology. The victims, and they should. The parents, they should. The people, they should. But no one ever said in a solemn assembly, oh, Father,
We transferred all these priests from one place to the other. Have mercy on us. But then again, we don't throw these priests away because they're the anointed, but we have thrown them away. You care for them. At least you give them an alternative to become holy. But you see, we don't do that. You know why? Because we care more about what the globe says than what God Almighty says. The church has become the world. And there's only one way out. That's all the churches. Benny Hinn, the whole bunch of us, is repentance. All right, I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. I am optimistic that Jesus will win because he is a winner. And I'm on a winning team. I don't know about you. But I am also telling you the truth. Repentance is the only way that things will change. Please, I need to hear from you. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. No one's going to tell you this kind of stuff. You know why? Because everybody wants to let you know how you feel good. I just need to tell you you got to repent. Tonight we'll have Mass at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary. Tomorrow I will be in Lakeville. If you want to come to Lakeville tomorrow, I will be there from 10 till 3. Here's land. And if you know about Here's Land, just come. Just come. If you're not registered, just come. Just come, people. Just come. Listen, I also want to tell you about Jimmy the Roofer. We just got a call for Jimmy the Roofer. Jimmy is the best roofer that I know, as well as Mike McDuffie. He's another great roofer. And he will give you what you need, and he charges you a very low price. And it's raining, and I hope you have some rain on your head, and you call this number. 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210, and you ask for Jimmy the Roofer's telephone number, 617-846-1210. More tomorrow, I assure you, by the grace of the living God. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.